Hi, I'm Tavis Smiley. You may know me from my PBS talk show. I'm excited to tell you that I have a brand new podcast that you can hear on podcastone.com starting this July. I'll discuss the latest in politics, sports, music, and much more with big thinkers, artists, and celebrities. I'll also share my own opinions and answer some of your questions. So join the conversation this July on the Tavis Smiley podcast, coming to podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Before we get to today's show, today's podcast is sponsored by Simply Safe. Now, as a dad, the safety of your family is something that is of the utmost importance, and that's why I use Simply Safe to protect my home, because Simply Safe is a security arsenal expertly engineered to protect each access point of your home. A couple of years ago, my wife, Nicole, said, we need to get a security system. There's a lot of crazy people that are out there. She said, you need to do it. I went on my own. I did the research. I heard ads on podcasts like this, and I looked into Simply Safe. And I can tell you that Simply Safe is so easy to set up that even I can do it. It blankets your home in professional protection. And best of all, the monitoring is 24/7 and just $14.99 a month. That's much less expensive than what you're going to be getting from a lot of the competitors that are out there. No hidden fees, no gotchas. That's it. Plus, no long-term contracts. Simply Safe will never lock you in because they earn your business every single day. So find out why millions of Americans trust Simply Safe to protect their loved ones. Go to simplysafe.com/dad now. If you order today, you get 10% off plus a free keychain remote and free shipping. Go to simplysafe.com/dad. That's SimpliSafe.com/dad. Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cicerino, back again to talk about the week's most interesting news stories here on the week of Monday, July 17, 2017, on News AF. If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF.
Waka waka!
News makes you bored to death. It's time for some News AF.
Yeah!
Factual news. Yes, yes. This is very exciting. We are here. News AF coming to you live on Facebook in the Group AF Facebook group and here in the News AF podcast here with the News AF team, starting with a man with a cowboy hat that is Tyson, what's that? Is that a 7-incher?
No, this is a mere 6 inches.
Mere 6-incher. How's that going to get the job done?
With a 4-inch brim. Panama grass, I think, or whatever they call these hats. Straw.
Shantung.
Straw hats.
Straw hat.
Yeah.
There you go.
10X.
Yes. And here with a man, what would you call that? A 2-incher, a 3-incher? Danny Bryson.
This has got maybe a little bit longer bill than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A long bill.
At least longer than what I'm used to, right? It protrudes.
Yeah.
Sticks out. But it's definitely not a 6-incher, so I won't be standing side by side with Tyson.
Right.
Because I don't want people to make the comparison.
Yeah, you don't want to be emasculated.
No, yeah. No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, ideally what you can do, Danny, is that if you cut your hair real short, it will make the hat look bigger.
Oh, is that something I can do?
Yeah.
That's proven?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Maybe I'll try that.
Just keep Should I do that too?
Real short around the sides. Yeah, Tyson. I mean, if you want to accentuate the big hat, just cut
the
all the hair around
brim.
The side real short.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I do.
Because that kind of hides some of the hat when you have the lots of hair sticking out.
Yeah, I can tell. See that?
We have a lot to talk about here today on News AF. It's the middle of the summer, but there is no slowdown in the News AF as we continue our march towards News AF 100, coming to Salt Lake City, Utah last weekend in August, Tyson. Very exciting.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to wear my 7-incher. Danny's band is going to perform a live version of the News AF theme song.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Okay.
He said he's in, and then I forgot to talk to you about it, Danny.
I'm probably an important key.
I don't know. He said he could do it without you.
Well, technology these days, one man can be an entire band, so I'm not needed.
Did you rebrand as the News AF band?
No, actually, we don't have a new name. So if you've got any suggestions,
okay,
I'll be taking those.
Do you want like
about,
a serious or a joke
Bodie McBoatface? Yeah.
Well, I've always liked the idea of the band name Accidental Discharge. That's always been one at the top of my list.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be serious. We had a band called Pegasus Fantastica. So Yeah, we're trying not to take ourselves too seriously because then people will expect awesome music. Well, if you have a goof name, remember how we talk about the hairy-chested swimsuit?
Yeah.
The name is like that hairy-chested swimsuit. It lowers the expectation.
Right. If you give it a real name, people want a real
Manhammer.
Sound. Yeah.
If we're called like Majestic Eagle or something like that, then people will expect too much.
Yeah. What about Locomotive Kamikaze?
Ew, I like that. That's kind of in the middle area. That's a good one, Tyson.
Because why would you kamikaze a locomotive? It only has one destination. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it? There's layers to it.
Where did you get that name? Did you just pull that out of the ether? I mean, seriously.
You know it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You can use it if you want to, as long as I get 80% of the band's earnings.
That done.
Does the hat amplify the brain power, Tyson? Is it like the acoustics for thinking?
Rachel did some research on this spider bite I got on my face a while ago.
Oh, no.
And she said like short-term memory loss is one of the things. It comes back, but she's like one of the symptoms or aftermath of getting a spider bite like that. And there have been people that I have known for 5 or 10 years that I have memorized their name since the first time I met them. And when I see him, I can't remember their name.
Wow.
It's
so
crazy.
That's convenient. Maybe I can fake a spider bite when I can't remember. I wish I would have done that for the reunion.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't remember your name. I've been bitten by a spider.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've been having a lot of brain farts with people's names recently, and it's kind of been worrying me. But I'm 38, so you know that shit's going to go at some
point. Yeah, it could be the thing. All right. Well, speaking of brain farts, that's a good transition to talk about our top story at this hour, where we are always following whatever news is coming out of the airline industry. And there was a American Airlines flight which was diverted recently, and the cause was that there was a person who passed gas on Sunday on the flight, forcing the passengers off the jet. Now, this is coming to us according to the CBS affiliate in North Carolina, WNCN. It sounds like a fake news story, but this is something that is being reported. According to the article, the incident happened when passengers on the flight became ill with nausea and headaches, according to a passenger's gas, Danny.
You know, I heard a story a really long time ago about a man who died. He asphyxiated himself in his trailer from passing gas. Now, I think that it's probably fake news. This is long, long time ago when fake news was kind of relegated to the Inquirer. So it was like an Inquirer-esque type story. But the gas idea creating problems has been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, gas does create problems. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But how severe are the problems?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like with that story with the guy who died, it's like, I don't know if the gas can go that far.
Well, this is a controversial story because American Airlines has come out today on Monday and is refuting the claims that there was a passenger who had gas on the flight. They're saying, yes, we did evacuate everybody off of a plane because of an odor issue, but it was not due to a person passing gas on the flight.
The airplane is the best place to pass gas.
Yeah, they're trying to protect Ann Coulter or Ann Coulter. Is that her name?
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Well, that Tyson's connecting those two stories.
He's connecting the dots. Now, Ann Coulter had an issue over the weekend on a Delta flight. Tyson, do you know the particulars of this?
Yeah. She ordered a seat with extra leg room, still in the coach class, and they moved her, apparently just across the aisle, to another seat with equal leg room. And we still don't know the particulars of why they moved her. But they moved her seat, apparently, and they admit that they moved her to an equal seat. And then they put these other people, maybe they were all three together or whatever. She went on a Twitter page and just tried to destroy Delta. But she's been, I guess, anti-Delta for 10 years, like we all are. But it's like, you don't have a choice. You just got to take the stupid airline. There's three airlines. They all get horrible news articles written about them all the time. So which one do you choose? So she tried to do this anti-Delta rant, but it didn't work very good. The best tweet I saw was was something about how Ann Coulter was having a bad day, which made this guy's day better. Thank you, Delta. Like he thanked Delta for...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and then Delta came back and was, I thought, you know, pretty chippy on Twitter with Ann Coulter, Danny. They did not necessarily have the philosophy of the customer is always right. And then they sort of chastised Ann Coulter for being mean and talking badly about the passengers. Now, just wondering.
No one should ever side with the airlines. I don't care who the individual is complaining against airlines. Airlines do not deserve any amount of respect from us because I hate them and I hate Delta. And I don't care who it is that's complaining about them. I will support them, no matter how small and insignificant the slight is.
So you're Team Coulter.
Yeah.
You have to fly, and I have to use Delta because the Salt Lake City is their hub. And I freaking hate Delta, and I hate the way they just push you around. I hate the way they charge you for every single thing. I hate the way that they'll just disregard your seat assignment. I mean, I don't care who it is. As much as you want to hate the individual, I hate Delta far more.
I do kind of feel like that just because this was Ann Coulter, everybody is pro-Delta on this one. If this happened to any other person or any other celebrity, I think that there would be outrage against the airline here, but it seems as
maybe
though...
a little bit, but this is such a minor infraction. She got essentially the same seat just on the other side of the aisle.
No. We cannot... We have to come down on these airlines for every infraction.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because they do it with impunity.
Yeah.
They just step all over us. So honestly, don't care about the politics of the individual. If it's an airline doing something, I hate the airline.
Did I tell you one time?
I mean, that could be the greatest unifying thing to happen in America. Maybe we could all, you know, left, right, center, all get together in a mutual hatred for the airlines.
Airlines. I don't really hate all of the airlines. I kind of like JetBlue.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. But when I say airlines, I should specify that maybe the top three.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tricky spot. We could go off in a number of different directions here.
Let's go back to the fart because that I appreciate because I think airplanes are one of the best places to pass gas.
They're so loud
and completely do it and not be you won't be noticed, especially when they're serving dinner. That's usually when you just let it rip. Because the dinner smells so bad.
What flight are you on where they serve dinner?
You know, if you're flying across the Atlantic or you're going to New York. Yeah, I actually personally wish they wouldn't serve dinner.
Because you don't know what you're smelling if it's butt juice or food.
Right.
Yeah, the smells are very similar, Tyson. Yeah.
But here's the thing,
too. Which flight would you have rather been on over the weekend, Tyson? The flight where people had to be evacuated due to a noxious gas or the flight where Ann Coulter was roasting everybody on Twitter?
I would like the Ann Coulter flight just so I could see it firsthand and then I could be a witness to everything that happened. And, yeah, I personally... When I start smelling smells on planes, because you're going to smell smells on planes, it's like going to like going to a giant international city like New York or Mexico City or Manila, Philippines or something. You're like, oh wow, what is that? Oh my god, that smell! That's like what getting on an airplane is. So what I do is I use two fans if I can get the two above head fans and put them both on my face because that blows fresh air down onto my face because I hope they don't recycle the fart air into those fans.
Yep.
It's the only way to keep fart
no,
smart.
Yeah, it's a genius move. You use all the fans you have at your disposal to push air back out towards the other people.
Yes, and away from your face.
You create a shield.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, away from you. And then that also helps so that when you fart, it goes up into the fan and gets blown out into the cabin.
Yeah, it gets blown away from you.
That's a smart move. Airline has said that they received a medical call about people affected by the odor, and then they came in and all of the passengers deplaned normally, that they are just firmly anti-flatulence in terms of what went on on this flight. It's a mystery.
Yeah, that's just denial. They don't want to – maybe they don't want to single out that guy, but there's a guy out there who had –
Whoever denied it supplied it, Danny.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so you think it was a stewardess who just, what is that called? Crop dusted as she went down the aisle? And that it was so bad because only the stewardess could, or the steward, or whatever we call them, air steward, could do that from one end of the plane all the way to the other, just crop dusted every single person in the
full
plane
crop dust.
With like Indian food, broccoli, cheese, and bacon meal.
It's a powerful fart.
That person might have a suit. They may be the first superhero.
Superpower.
Like, it seems ridiculous, but that's a real superpower.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you could go to some high-level UN meeting where they're discussing peace negotiations and then just let it rip.
Create World
and all
War
of a sudden
III.
It just falls apart. Look what you did with your power.
Yeah. Well, Howard Stern invented Fart Man, so that would have been the perfect spot for him.
Yeah.
So is Howard Stern behind this? Is this some kind of Howard Stern government conspiracy?
Yeah. That we don't know. We'll see if the story changes again between now and the next episode of News AF. Let's turn to a story out of the Vatican.
Ooh.
Where Pope Francis has made a decree that the body of Christ cannot, I repeat, cannot, in fact, be gluten-free. You cannot get a gluten-free Eucharist.
Man loves his gluten.
Mm. Yeah.
This is interesting because I've heard this said a bunch of times to me growing up a little bit religious, that it's the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. Unless, does that make sense to you? Do you understand that, Rob? The spirit of the law meaning that it doesn't really matter as long as you're like embracing the spirit of it. So the exact ingredients in the bread shouldn't really matter. It's just that you are keeping Christ in your thoughts is the important part. But they have gone all the way around to be very strict with this. So,
yeah.
I think it'd be better if they did brownies. Like, that was the joke as Mormons, Tyson and I, they do have something similar. They give bread. And I always, because it's the spirit of the law, they said you could technically use anything. So when I was a kid, I would secretly every Sunday wish that someone would do it with like brownies or banana bread. Because there's lots of options when it comes to breads and carbs.
But instead they use the cheapest, most unhealthy bread you can find.
Wonder Bread. Usually it's someone's bread that they found in the back of their pantry that is, old. And they're like, oh, we got to get rid of this. Yeah. Take it to church.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a little bit of a conflict for me because I am a Glutheran.
Oh, my goodness.
So, right. Very, you know.
So you believe solely in...
In the power of
the
gluten?
The power of gluten or the anti-glutes? Are you anti-glutes?
No.
Pro-glutes.
Anti-glutes. That's against everything.
Yeah, he's not an anti-glutenite.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Vatican has said that these are the exact ingredients of the body of Christ, saying that if they have no gluten, the hosts are automatically invalid for the celebration of the Eucharist. Danny, why is the Vatican so wrapped up in the gluten?
I have no idea. I mean, it seems like this Pope's been pretty open to
a lot
of suggestions. Yeah, pretty popular. Pretty kind of like a more of a hippie pope from my observations, but yeah, he's really got something against
how
the
many
gluten.
But this is where he's going to lose everybody, that he's like a modern pope and he's talking about a lot of things, but when he's drawn the line on gluten free, I think that he's losing a generation of millennials,
of hipsters.
Yeah,
how many people that are allergic to gluten have to die before the pope changes his mind?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people that have gluten issues. There's two things. There's people that are sort of like trying to be trendy and gluten-free, and people who suffer from, I believe,
or thinking
celiac
it's healthy
disease. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some people that think it's healthy, and then there's people with celiacs.
Yeah, so I don't know why the Pope can't greenlight some form of gluten-free Eucharist for people who have health issues.
Could you imagine when Jesus turned all that bread, like he made all those loaves of bread appear, if he had made all those loaves of bread appear? And a couple people in the crowd were like, can you make some gluten-free loaves for us?
They probably were gluten-free back then.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Just naturally, who knows? The other thing, too, is it's like my experience is that 50 to 5,000 years behind what's going on currently. So I think we'll see some gluten-free bread in the next 500 to 1,000 years.
Unless this is the hill that the church plants its flag on. It's like, this no is... further. We won't give up any more ground.
I think that the church needs to be open to a lot of ideas if they want to start to bring people back in. I think that gluten-free should be on the table. I think no carb should be on the table. I think that rainbow Eucharist in terms of like the what is that called? The unicorn smoothie. I think
the unicorn Eucharist.
You should be able to get a fidget spinner with the Eucharist. Whatever is going to help drive people back into the church. I think that they got don't be playing hardball now, church.
Yeah. No holds barred.
I say I'm totally against that, Rob, because I think that the only people who really go to church, most of them are fairly old and they don't want to see things change. You start doing a fidget spinner Eucharist and you're gonna lose that.
No, the old people important... are dying. The millennials will become the old people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the millennials, studies have shown that religious people joining religions falling all over the world. So really,
yeah, you know why?
You have
because the fidget spinner sacraments aren't being administered.
Yeah.
I honestly think that you're going to lose everyone if you go to the fidget spinner sacrament.
Eucharist delivered by drones. That's pretty ingenious. Yeah.
Because everyone's going to see it as just a gimmick.
You just open your gullet, drops right in. Mm. Yeah, it is a gimmick, but isn't that where religion is?
No. For them, they built this whole thing over thousands of years, right? Of ritual. And just it's supposed to be like a rock. If all of a sudden they turn to gimmicks, again, they're going to lose all of their old people before they die. So they're just going to hurry in the end.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess they'll cross that bridge when they get to it. Lancelot says they should do sugar-free wine also. Is that a thing, sugar-free wine?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Lancelot also says that the church says that it's because the wafers are so small. A little gluten won't hurt anyone. Again, tell that to the person with the celiac.
Yeah. Or a little adultery doesn't hurt anyone. I mean, if we're just using that phrase to get by.
Okay. So we'll see.
Well, I am not condoning what Danny has just...
what's a little bit of adultery, Danny? Is that just kissing? Or is that just like a one-time affair?
That was just me using
an
example.
Is that a verse from the Bible?
If they're saying a little bit of gluten doesn't hurt, then a person who's affected by the gluten could be a little bit of... stealing doesn't hurt, or a little bit of murder doesn't hurt.
Yeah, just
I think
a
that's
little
what Lubega said.
Yeah, so, a little bit of murder in my life.
So if we're using a little bit as an excuse, then I think the parishioner should be able to use a little bit as well.
You want to remove the tip from the reasoning, Danny.
The just the tip defense.
Yes.
Yes, I want to offer that to those people.
Marinating. He's just...
Okay. Let's talk about a highly requested story from our listeners about a truck in Oregon filled with slime eels was overturned this week, covering the road with 7,500 pounds of slimy eels. Now, did you guys know that slime eels were even a thing?
First of all, no. And second of all, what were they doing with all of these eels? I'm more interested in where they were going.
They were shipping them to Korea because that's who eats them.
Oh, they eat them.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes. It's like, so we have a lake here called Utah Lake that's filled with carp, a garbage fish. And we used to have a boat out there that would fish for them and ship them to China because Chinese people love to eat carp, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So one man's trash is another man's treasure, Rob.
Right. Well, the citizens of Oregon were treated to 7,500 pounds of slime eels. These are eels which secrete a thick slime when stressed. So you could imagine how slimy the road might have gotten.
Yeah. Wow. No, there's some great pictures.
Mm-hmm. Danny also creates a fair amount of slime when he gets stressed.
Is that true, Danny?
I will say I do sweat quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm a very sweaty guy, but no slime.
Yeah.
It's just sweat.
Now, this does look a lot like the ectoplasm that we were discussing on last week's show.
Yeah. Are you thinking ghost attack?
Do you think this is a ploy by Big Eel to sell more slime eels domestically in the domestic market?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be possible.
Yeah. I suddenly have a hankering for some slime eel for lunch.
Yeah.
This is probably very similar to what your house or an Airbnb looks like after someone hosts a huge orgy.
Mm-hmm. Now, This seems like the start of a horror movie where you have these guys that are driving this truck full of dangerous slime eels. I don't know if they're dangerous. And then one of them sort of like gets loose and like strangles the guy who's driving the truck, causing the thing to go off the road and derail. Do we know if that's what happened, Danny?
By the way, I think they are dangerous. If you are wearing, if Tyson's wearing his finest cowboy apparel, this is a danger to his apparel, because it's definitely going to ruin whatever you're wearing.
Yeah.
When you get slapped around by these eels.
Yeah, and can you get pregnant from this stuff?
If you're an eel, I think.
Maybe if you marinate. Maybe if you marinate in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because there's a lot of stuff that people don't know about the slime eel like they should, and now we're finally bringing the slime eel to the forefront. Children's books are going to be written about slime eels here soon. It's going to be a popular cartoon character. We're going to have sitcoms written about slime eel families. We're going to have entire science fictional films based off of the slime eel.
So you think that we've gone from sloth being, you know, the sloth was peaking, and now it's a slime eel's turn.
Slime eel number one, baby.
Mm-hmm. I could see the toy. I could see having a slime eel toy that secretes some kind of slime as you squeeze it.
Yeah,
it's no good. It's no good. These videos are terrifying about the slime eel accident. Like, I don't even know how some of these things happen. Like, and they're just everywhere and moving around. Like, they're not in a cage or anything. And it's that, like, you see firefighters just, like, hosing down the pavement.
No, I think what you do in this type of disaster is you just bring in someone with a flamethrower.
Anybody with a phallus phobia is going to be horrified by these images.
Mm-hmm.
What is the technical name for phallus phobia?
I don't know. I was going to say something slime eel related, but... whatever it is, a bunch of writhing, sliming eels that are just like sliming everywhere is going to be terrifying for somebody with a fear.
Wow, I can't stop looking at these pictures.
Not ideal.
Oh, so you're the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get enough. Slime eel porn addict.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be, they had fidget spinner porn. Now they're going to bring in slime eel porn as slime eels peak.
Yeah, Danny is a phallophile.
a phallophile, classic daddy.
All right, before we get to our next story, let me take a moment and thank our sponsors who are over at TrueCar. And there's something about TrueCar that a lot of people don't know, that if you use TrueCar, they can help you buy a used car too. What? Yes, it's true. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. You know that it's so terrible to be flying. Why not be driving around in your own new or used car from TrueCar? You can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price off used cars and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. And best of all, you can see what other people paid for the car so you know what a fair price is and you can feel confident, Danny. How important is that?
Confidence is key, I think, is what they say.
Yeah. Tyson, you agree?
I also agree with what they say.
Yeah, and with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. With TrueCar, you'll easily find the newer used car that you want, and many TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Okay, another story that many of our listeners requested about an engaged couple that attempted to do the iconic lifts from Dirty Dancing to prepare for their first dance at their wedding. Unfortunately, on their first try, they knocked each other unconscious while colliding and were both rushed to the hospital. And so the couple were going to attempt a slow dance for their wedding instead. Danny, is this a lawsuit? Should the production company from Dirty Dancing be forced to
I don't know about these people's physical limitations, but if I was to say whether or not they should attempt this move, I think these people fall under the category of they should not attempt this move.
I feel like after hearing the story, I'm quite aware of their physical limitations.
Well, I mean, let alone the head bonking that probably took place, but that guy's going to throw out his back. There's a lot of physical threats to him from this move.
Yeah.
So, I mean, someone should have advised. There's a woman in the pictures, and another guy who seemed to be encouraging it. I think they might have problems, legal problems in the future, because they're definitely facilitating a disaster. And they knew it all along. There's no way they could have seen this.
They knew what was coming. Did they have a video camera on it? Because that would be the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, they had some sort of a camera. And this is what is only making me slightly suspicious about this. Because they had a photo gallery. This is this story. I'm seeing this is on BuzzFeed. And we see the woman running up to the man and then him hoisting her and then them both like passed out unconscious on the ground. So I don't know if this is staged or not, Tyson.
Oh, yeah. That it is starting to sound a little suspect now. If we had,
what do you think, Danny?
Yeah, so I actually do kind of agree with Rob. And what I'm looking at, there's a frame missing where the actual contact takes place.
Mm-hmm. But who stands to gain for this? Is the Dirty Dancing coming out on Blu-ray or something?
Well, I'll tell you what, these two people don't stand to gain anything but shame.
Yeah.
A big heap of shame. Because even if they did stage this, now there's photos of them in a story. So this fake news benefits them not at all.
Right.
Maybe they get to be in the news and their pictures around the globe, but it's for nothing good. So why would you want that?
Yeah. Is it possible that somebody's like some sort of Dirty Dancing coach that is trying to get this story out into the media and being talked about?
Yeah, but then there's a fear of this move. So it doesn't help the coach out because now he's not going to have anyone do it because it seems like you could get seriously injured.
Yeah.
Attempting this. So the coach doesn't benefit.
Right. And, you know, I don't want to do any shaming. These are not the the youngest people, and they do not look like they have been professionally dancing for any.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. I think you did that in a more tactful manner than I did.
Yeah. And I mean, the picture where they're both passed out on the ground is also, I don't know. It looks, I'm not convinced, Danny.
Well, regardless, if this turns out to be fake news, bravo for them. They've put on a great show and we all had to laugh at their expense.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about a story about a man in Texas who got trapped behind an ATM. And was only detected after he slipped notes to customers through the receipt slot asking for help. Tyson, are you buying this story? Because this sounds like a prank.
It really sounds weird, too, because when you say behind an ATM, you're thinking, okay, he's behind one of those machines at a casino. But then it's like a wall ATM that he's stuck inside the ATM more than behind it, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I didn't really do any fact checking on this, but I read a little bit of it, and it sounds like he went in to do some maintenance or something, forgot to bring the key to get himself out of it or whatever, and then got stuck in there. And a lot of people were thinking it was a prank or a hoax at first until finally somebody called the police and they got him out of there.
Yeah.
This guy could have milked this for way more than he did. Like, he sent out a rescue note right away. He should have sent out funny notes at first.
Yeah.
Well, like, did he, I'm watching you.
Really, like, give us an example.
Yeah. I'm watching you. I know your PIN. I'm taking your money. Or, you know, like, tried to get the tip out of one of those slots just a little bit. I mean, there's lots of jokes he could have played, and then eventually someone would have come and gotten him out anyway. But he would have had a great story of all the sweet pranks.
If he had access to the cash, it feels like that he could have gotten out quicker, where it's the note says, hey, help me out of this ATM. There's $200 in it for you. I think he could have gotten some more people invested in this.
Well, and yeah, if I got a note from an ATM machine, I'm going to question it. Probably just going to turn around and not use the machine and just go away.
Yeah. Part of the problem was that people did think that they were on some sort of a prank show, and they assumed that this was a gag that they were being taken advantage of for.
That's a bad sign, by the way. If people aren't helping other people because they're afraid of the prank show, that's the start of the end for society.
Yeah,
like, you won't help the guy laying down in the street because you could be part of a prank show.
Yeah, well, you don't want to look stupid.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, on camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Ashton Kutcher pulled one over on you, you know?
Yeah. What is the modern day that in, you know, the 2000s you would get punked? Is there one sort of front-running prank show that you would think that you were on, Danny?
Not actually. No, I can't think. I know there's probably a bunch on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a YouTube guy, but I'm guessing that there's a ton of YouTubers who do pranks. So but I don't know of them. So it's potential. I could potentially be pranked at any time. So it's better just to ignore everyone, especially those crying for help, because you might get pranked.
You could be the victim of the mm-hmm. next prank. Let's talk about a story from Kelsey Frazier that sends us about KFC's latest invention. They have a new KFC smartphone. The KFC brand Enjoy 7 Plus Android phone comes with all the features of a regular smartphone, plus a finger scanner above the laser engraved image of the kernel on the bright red phone. These are going to be sold in China, and only 5,000 of them are going to be made to celebrate the company's 30th anniversary in the country. Danny, is this enough for you for the KFC phone, or does the KFC phone need to be able to order you chicken with like some sort of a dash button?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. They didn't incorporate kind of like the pizza shoe, a one push button that gives you a bargain bucket right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
That seems easy to me to be able to pull that off.
But the other thing this phone is missing is some kind of grease deterrent.
Yeah.
Because this phone is going to be greasy AF if KFC lovers are using it all the time. It should have some kind of defensive mechanism, some kind of, you know, coating to protect it from the grease.
Well, how would that work?
Is that after a bucket of bargain bucket of chicken, that thumb scanner is not going to work above the kernel.
No, probably
so
not.
It should provide like a tearaway strip, some kind of cleaning pad that you can use, and then you tear away and another one reveals itself, because that's the only way you're going to be able to use that scanner.
You know, on top of that, the KFC phone also comes with the KFC Music app, which lets you share music with the 4,000 KFC restaurants. And it comes with $100,000 of the kernel's virtual currency, K-dollars.
That's a cryptocurrency.
Is it?
Tyson should, I don't know, but Tyson should get in on that.
Bye. Tyson, what's the conversion of Bitcoin to K-dollars?
K-dollars are currently, I think it's 85 Bitcoin to 1 K-dollar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is this just a ploy by KFC to get their cryptocurrency into the market?
Yeah.
What's backing the cryptocurrency?
Chicken. Like it's backed by chicken? Fried chicken.
Yeah. Right. Or the secret recipe.
Yeah.
It's backed by all the seasoning. Mm.
The kernel has signed off on this. So very tough to get the KFC phone. Only 5,000 of them are available. Zach Faulkner sends a story about a lawsuit in Alaska, which will determine whether an agreement made on a napkin will serve as a legally binding $1 million contract. There was a deal that was made between a media company in which one party's former boss wrote on a napkin that she would pay him $100,000 per year for 10 years for the stake in the company. I think that the legality of that is being called into question. Danny, yes or no? Is a napkin a legally binding document?
Why does it matter what the
paper is?
Yeah, paper's paper. So what's the difference between this and, you know, like A4 or papyrus or whatever it is the Egyptians used? I think that it doesn't matter. If it's there and it has your signature and it doesn't fade away by the time you take it to court, then that's rock solid.
Here's the problem, though. This is the problem with this right now, is that unless the agreement was totally written out of both parties on that napkin, like then they don't really know. Like if it says I'll pay you $100,000 a year for 10 years, and then she signs it, that could be for anything. Maybe she's paying him $100,000 a year for 10 years for $200,000 worth in gold. Like
but then it's not about the napkin; it's about the wording in the contract, right?
That's what I'm saying.
The napkins can still be used.
The napkin can be used. It's solely is the wording in the contract enough to understand what both parties are expected.
Danny, mm-hmm. this is a great idea, though. Going back to the KFC phone, you know, you get like the long cell phone contract when you sign up. Should they do that on a napkin and include that with the phone?
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
That could kill two birds with one stone.
Because you're going to eat the chicken and then throw the napkin away, and then they can mm-hmm. do whatever they want to you. Very wise from KFC.
They're going to do whatever they want anyway. That's what makes the whole contract so worthless, as many contracts are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the exact wording from the napkin. It says, I agree to pay Tony $100K at end of each calendar year, beginning 14 for 10 years. That's the contract. I mean, we didn't even use Tony's last name.
Yeah, and it doesn't say what it's for.
No.
And that's the main thing.
Right. Now, I think that it is a poor business idea to sign contracts on napkins. But if you're Tony, I think, get it, guy.
There's a reason that people spend $100,000 and go to grueling law school. And that's because the world of law is difficult to navigate. And to think you can do it on a napkin, you know, just off the top of your head, this is the lesson this guy is probably learning right now.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't work.
It's not just any napkin. This appears to me to be a bar cocktail napkin.
Ooh.
And I would love to know what the blood alcohol content was of the signer of this contract.
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be any more enforceable if they had signed with blood? I feel like blood adds a little bit of seriousness to the contract.
I mean, it seems very messy. How do you sign something with blood? What do you do?
Well, like, I think that you prick your finger, and then you get like a feather, like they did in the olden days.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then you sign it like that, like a Thomas Jefferson signature with blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if that would maybe help it hold up in court.
Yeah. Okay, so the napkin note, we still are not sure exactly whether the state of Alaska is going to allow this or not.
Well, I mean, it's Alaska.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, Alaska's kind of out there on the frontier. A napkin agreement might mean far more, you know, in Alaska than in Manhattan.
All right, well, let's let the News AF Supreme Court decide. It takes a two-thirds majority to make this one way or the other. Tyson, where do you come down on this? Should the napkin contract stand?
I think if both parties agree to do the napkin contracts, like, they're not, and so it's word against word, so that's not enough.
Hmm. I feel like that the point of the contract, it has to stand no matter, whether one person wants it or not. If both people agree to it, then you didn't need the contract.
You didn't need the napkin, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. But the napkin doesn't stipulate what $100,000 a year for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's my argument. If that was in there and Tony's signature was on it as well, now you got something.
Right. Okay. So you say no. Danny?
I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah.
There's too much that we don't know about the deal. I mean, Tony should have used a little bit. He should have used a lawyer.
Right.
And like proper paperwork.
Right. I'm going to also come down. I'll be a third no on this. That if you just could like make a contract on a napkin and then have it be write one sentence, you sign it, I sign it. Like that works like in summer camp, but that can't be a legally binding document.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Do three no's make a yes?
No.
No, that's not how that works.
Okay, I didn't know. I was trying to figure out my math.
The court AF rules against the napkin contract. And then also, this was a story that was all over the place. So many people in our group wanted us to talk about the saga of the man with the face tattoo that reads Devastate. That's DEVAST, the number 8. It is on the face of a 19-year-old man in New Zealand, and he's talking about the struggles that he's had to find work with this big face tattoo, which really, to say face tattoo is an injustice, it's really just like, it's almost like a tattoo
beard. The evil man on...
Right.
The evil man on He-Man, like Skeletor's sidekick, like Jaws or Chomper or whatever his name was.
Chomper.
Trapjaw, I believe, I like is Chomper. His name. Tyson. Yes.
Yeah, it looks like that, dude. It's like a full mask from ear, wides out like a beard all the way across to his other ear. It's full black, and Devastate is in his regular skin tone where everything else is blacked in. It is the worst tattoo of all time.
Danny, buying or selling, that's the worst tattoo of all time.
It's definitely up there, because the minute you put something on your face, no matter what it is, even if it's a beautiful, busty woman laying back on a motorcycle, it's still just a bad idea, right? Everybody loves that tattoo, right, Tyson? But if you put it on your face, it automatically becomes a bad idea.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So you're saying it's a lot about placement, too. Actually falls under two categories. One, it's naturally a bad tattoo in general, and then to put it on your face on top of that is even worse.
Yeah, it's problematic also, because the writing sort of starts over here on the left, like by one ear, and goes all the way around to the other ear. And really, you have to like rotate the guy 180 degrees to be able to read exactly what it says. So if he's not like on some sort of a lazy Susan, it's hard to make out what that exactly is saying. Now, he got this tattoo also, this is an interesting backstory, from his brother / cellmate in prison.
Oh. In prison.
Yeah.
They were drunk. They were drunk on homemade toilet wine.
Okay. Yeah, so prison's probably not, a lot of bad things happen in prison, and I think this is just evidence of that.
All right. Here is my somewhat rudimentary solve for this. Can he just grow a beard? Or does the tattoo ability to grow a beard?
No, because people tattoo their heads, and then I think their hair still grows out.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a problem.
I thought that, too, when I first saw it. I was like, grow a beard. It wouldn't cover all of it, probably, and it also depends on how patchy his beard is, but it would definitely cover some. And maybe if he just got it all filled in and then grew a beard, it would just look like a really nice, thick, dark beard.
Yeah, that would actually might help.
Yeah, I don't know why
like girls tattoo their eyebrows. Why can't
this?
Guys tattoo their beards?
I mean, it's almost like that you would not even see this tattoo if he had a beard.
Yeah. He'd have to have the perfect beard, though. Like he would have to have the development of a perfect lumberjack beard.
But it
would
help.
Has a very baby face look. It's possible he hasn't gone through puberty yet.
Yeah. Some other interesting things. He also has a tattoo above his eyebrow. I'm not sure what that one says. Can you
don't
make that
look
out?
At me.
And he has one under his eye, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, he has like a little bit of like some things over to the left and right of his eye, but he has one over his eyebrow, and then he has something on his neck as well. He also, I'm not sure, does he have a couple of hickeys also?
Well, those are...
I doubt it.
Oh, wait, I see what you're looking at right there. Well, I mean, while he can't find a job...
Zoom in, enhance.
He has cigarette burns. Could be go either way.
Yeah. You don't think he got slimed?
Oh, that's possible. Back in prison, certainly.
Has he been around any slime eels?
Yeah, probably a ton of them.
A ton of them in prison.
Yeah.
By the way, he's been offered 45 jobs, or he's received 45 job offers and turned
since
them
this.
Down.
Yeah.
So I think that it's more, I think that the devastate.
It's more of the attitude.
Yeah, it's more of the attitude. Like he's very sad about his face tattoo, but he also doesn't want to get a job, a real job.
Yeah.
He's waiting for that perfect job in the media to come, but. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
Until he removes
it. Do we have a job for him?
Yeah, as long as he stays in New Zealand and does not come to us, I think we can get him on the intern list somehow.
Yeah. So,
but I repeat, we do not want to meet this man in person.
Right. This is what he posted in the Facebook group Auckland Jobs. He said, hey, I'm keen to work, but I have one thing that's stopping me, and I have this tattoo on my face. I don't have a CV as of yet because I have worked at a New Zealand brick distributors before, also a scrap metal yard. I'm 19 years old of age and have my learner's license. Keen as on job or workplace that will take me on. I have CPIT qualification in painting and decorating. Also chainsaw and fencing. I don't know if I want him with the chainsaw at my house. Ask questions, please. But yeah.
I think all the questions will be tattoo related, correct?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, how many years have you spent working in face tattoo? I mean, fencing.
Yeah, fencing. He's 19. He has one of the worst tattoos in the history of mankind, and he's only 19.
Yeah, think about what he'll do by 30.
Man.
Yeah, he'll complete that tattoo. I am devastated.
Devastated. Devastated. So yeah. So they tell you at career fairs, face tattoos is not the ideal way to go.
Oh, they do tell you that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
good.
That's a big deal. Okay.
You should have learned.
Danny, are you ready to take us into the bolt hole?
Yeah, so
Hold on a second. Because Tyson, do you have a world premiere?
I have a world premiere. Do you have it ready?
What? Yes, I have it ready to go.
Okay, hit it.
Well, do you want to set up what we're going to hear or no?
Nope. We'll talk about it after.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to feel you belong.
Very, very nice.
A very sexy seduction. You wanna feel at home, 'cause you belong. Welcome to my bolt hole. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Danny, I wrote that for you.
That is the most beautiful song anyone has ever written for another person.
Thank you. Yeah, I was listening to Welcome to My Nightmare, and I was like, dude, Welcome to My Bolt Hole. It sounds exactly the same. So then me and Ollie wrote that.
That is beautiful. That is just what, I mean, angels in heaven could recreate a song that good.
And I sang that.
Oh, I knew that was your voice.
Oh, how cool was that?
Yeah. That's probably the cool. Is that the, have you peaked? Did you just peak with that song?
I just peaked all over, dude. You've got a theme song now.
That is cool? Awesome. That's pretty cool. I like it. It's from the heart. Yeah. Little Alice Cooper.
Little Alice Coops.
All right. Well, welcome to my bolt hole.
Yes.
I actually have a place where this guy might be able to get a job, because there's a job opening in a Taco Bell. And that I'm sure that after this employee's rampage, that they'll gladly take someone with Devastate on their face. So Taco Bell actually has been in the news for some of the wrong reasons. They might be the new airline, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not all of their fault. In this case, there was a former employee who returned to the restaurant and goes on, as they describe it, a tea-throwing rampage. And then the manager in the video whips off his shirt to fight her 17-year-old son. I mean, it's complete bedlam. Right? So you've got your burrito, you got your taco, you're sitting there eating, and then this woman comes in, and if you watch the video, I mean, it's pure insanity.
So the woman removes her own shirt to fight
her son? No. Unfortunately, the manager who's there removes his shirt.
Mm-hmm. To fight the lady's son.
To beat up the lady's son.
Okay, why?
I mean, it's kind of nice because you're getting dinner with a show.
What spawned this? Oh, one of those show dinners. Those are expensive if you go.
Those are expensive. Yeah. So a lot of people at this Taco Bell were getting dinner and a show for a bargain price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's kind of nice. But yeah, I'm guaranteeing you that Devastate could get this lady's job, because after her.
Well, can you walk us through what happened?
Well, she had come to get her last check. Okay. And that's usually an awkward situation in the best of times.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When you come to get your final check. And I think things just spiraled out of control. You know, she had been fired or was leaving the company, and one thing led to another. And next thing she knows, she's chucking the tea display at the manager, and the manager's ripping off his shirt. Which, by the way, as a fighting tactic, I've never understood the removing of the shirt.
It's intimidating.
Is it a primal instinct to kind of, like, you know, monkeys pound their chest? You got to remove that shirt.
Yeah, it's like, let me show you what I'm working with before I break one off.
I mean, the thing is, when he removes his shirt, he immediately exposes the fact that he keeps his waist of his pants way too high. So yeah. I don't know if it was a smart move.
I think it's a response to a generation of people raised by watching WWE wrestling. I think that that's the move.
Okay.
Like, you come down. I think that this was a Hulk Hogan inspired move, and that it continues to this day. Wrestlers come down, and then they take off their shirt and throw it, and then get into the ring and wrestle.
I got it, guys.
But there's a difference. If you could rip your shirt off, that's rad.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this
probably
is
probably the coolest thing you could ever do.
I got a thing for the Sloth Terrarium. Rip away t-shirts. What? For these kids who were raised on WWF, you got these t-shirts that are easy rips down the middle, and you're just like, brah. And then anytime you come into this situation,
should they be Velcro? Breakaway shirts?
Yeah, breakaway shirt.
No, like a gentle seam, like right in the middle.
Yeah.
I like this idea, Tyson.
I think it's the
best sloth terrarium idea.
Like a weak fabric connection down the whole front middle. So it's a clean rip. It's an easy rip, and you can get it every time. And then, oh, my God, dude. And then you could go into Taco Bell without fear of not being able to rip through the neck of your shirt, which is the hardest part to rip through.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It sounds like you're a man who's tried to rip his shirt off multiple times, but been stopped. Because how embarrassing is that when you try to rip your shirt and then the neckline catches
you?
You
can't get
like
through
you
it.
You lose your momentum.
You can't get through it. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. The shirt, and
the
shirt's
now you're
already
struggling.
Ruined. Right.
And the guy's got it. Well, the guy can come up behind you. Now he's got an easy choke out thing because he can choke you with your own collar. Yeah. So you got to make sure you get through that collar. If you can't rip through a collar, don't attempt the t-shirt rip
until you get the new TDR, quick rip, easy t-shirts.
TDR?
Yeah, that's Tyson Danny Rob.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. Have any of you ever removed your shirt in a fight?
I've never been in a fight.
Rob, you've never been in a fight?
Yeah, should we fight each other, Tyson, just to lose our fighting virginity?
To see that.
But, well, Danny, why are you shocked that Rob's never been in a fight, but you're not shocked that I've never been in a fight?
You seem like a peace-loving guy, but I don't know anything about Rob's past. What if Rob was a real brawler, a protein-taking high school football brawler?
No, I never got into fights as a younger man, but I do feel like that one is inevitably coming in the next 5 years. Like, I feel like that sometime in the next 5 years, I will be involved in a fight where I'm being beaten up, but I have not been in one yet.
Do you feel like your wife is going to be the cause of that fight?
Just from what I read on Twitter and encounters that I have, that there are more and more people who are telling me I'm going to kick your ass. That this is happening more and more frequently as I get older.
So the last time I was almost in a fight was terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was when you leave LA and you get on I-15 and you're about to go up that hill towards Vegas, there's a small town, right? And there's a Del Taco there. And I stopped at the Del Taco gas station and I was waiting for a pump, right? And there was another guy who pulled in after me in a huge doorless Bronco, jacked up, right? And this other rough looking guy. And the stall became available, the one I was waiting for. So I moved my Subaru into the stall. And this guy guns his huge jacked up Bronco right within inches of my car. He could have run over my car. Then he gets out and he is just ripped, you know, like 6'5", just ripped. He's cursing me out. And so I knew that I would die if we got into a fight. But for some reason, I felt suicidal. I didn't want to move my car.
Yeah.
So my strategy was, if he started throwing punches, I was going to take my keys and hurl them into the field next to the gas station, because then he still wouldn't get the stall. You know, I'd still be maimed, seriously.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, my car would still be the one in the gas stall. That was my whole strategy, because I knew I couldn't
beat him.
So
you're going to really spite him.
Yeah, just to spite him, just to make him more upset. That was my strategy, because there's no way. I mean, he was just going to crush me. And luckily, a cop pulled up right as he was just in my face, just spewing hate. And he shaved head, everything. He was terrifying. And I held my keys in my hand, and I thought, he's going to punch me once. I'm going to use the momentum from the punch to get a little extra distance with my keys into the field. And that's how it was going to go down. But I knew I was going to get beat up. There's no way I was going to be able to pull like a crane kick and knock him down.
Yeah.
That just wasn't going to happen.
And then the cop pulled up and he left you alone after that?
Yeah, he stopped screaming at me for a minute, telling me to move my thing and that he was going to kill me. And he kind of turned and walked away, and I was super confused. And I turned around and there was a police officer who just pulled in to get gas.
You know,
so I was like, oh my gosh, there is a God.
I've been thinking along these similar lines the other day about how, you know, I'm probably going to be beaten in the next few years. And, you know, tying it back to the Devastate tattoo guy, that I do think that there is something to it where that the more, you know, crazy tattoos you have, the less likely a person is to mess with you. And now here I am, a complete blank canvas. I feel like I look like such an easy mark to anybody who wants to get a you know, a free beating in. And I'm wondering, like, from like a Malcolm Gladwell standpoint, like, do I need to go out and, you know, get tattoos in order to prevent the beating?
I think that's a great idea, Rob. I think you get a couple neck tattoos and a face tattoo, because right now you just like a vulnerable, skinny guy, right? So if you get the Tyson's tearaway, we'll call him the Tyson tearaway, and you get a neck tattoo. I mean, think about it. The guy starts to flex. You rip that shirt off. You expose like a giant dragon tattoo on your chest, and then you have the dragon's flames coming up to your ears. I think like, that the person runs away.
I'm not going to mess with him.
Yeah, and then you take out like some hypodermic needles from your pocket and start poking them at his eyes. Yeah. I think he runs away.
In a way, it's a bit of camouflage where then people are not going to, like, I'm going to be able to blend in more with my surroundings as opposed to, you know, my just naked flesh that's just going to...
your bright naked flesh.
Right, that's just like, you know, like this big flashing siren of beat me up, beat me up, beat me up.
Yeah. I'm an easy target.
What do you think? Do you think maybe the best tattoo to have on your chest when you rip the Tyson tear away is maybe like a clown? Like, what's the most terrifying image a person you could reveal on your chest?
What you have to have is really like the worst tattoos, because those are the ones where you're like, oh my God, how crazy does that guy have to be that he got that tattoo? So like, have it be of like a cartoon character with like Jean Code jeans flipping the bird, like full chest tattoo. And they're just like, oh, that's such the worst tattoo.
I think we got it. So we need a really terrible henna tattoos that I could cover myself with when I'm going anywhere, so that then people will think that I have real tattoos and won't beat me up because I'm crazy. But then I can take them off if I have a job interview.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea.
Are you planning on getting a job, Rob?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, if I needed to go somewhere and, you know, for whatever reason, these tattoos did not fit, like, I'd like to have tattoos that I could, like, put on, prevent getting beat up when I go someplace in public, then come back, and then if I want to go to a dinner or something like that, then I could take the tattoos off.
Just do have a tank top on. Of course, they're going to be exposed. But if you're wearing like a nice plaid button up, you won't see any of them.
How about this, Rob? How about instead of tattoos, you rip your shirt and expose a bunch of open, oozing sores,
like from slime eels?
Like slime eel
like
sores,
slime eel stuff. That like, will definitely keep potential beater uppers at bay.
Yeah, there's no way that guy's going to come after you if you've got, like, all these sores that are oozing, like, pus and fake blood. And, you know, now you're holding your hypodermic needles, and he's really scared.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is if you film somebody trying to beat you up, that usually turns them away, because they don't want to be caught on camera beating somebody up, because then that's, like, looks real bad in court.
Yeah. Danny, could I get some sort of, like, tattoo bodysuit that I could wear?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to get a couple $1 million.
Like some sort of like full body Spanx tattoo.
Yeah, that would be pretty dope. Here's what I think, Rob. When I was a kid and my mom used to spank me on the bum for, you know, being disobedient.
Not that kind of Spanx, Tyson.
Correct. But what I'm saying is I would put hardbound books down the seat of my pants. And so then when she'd try, she would hurt her hand, and I would be victorious. So if you just maybe walked around with hard-bound books under your clothing at all times, eventually somebody's going to punch one of those.
Yeah, the old Marty McFly trick, the bulletproof vest, like when Biff goes to punch me in the stomach.
Yeah, exactly.
Tyson, also here talking about your camera thing, in this story about the Taco Bell, the manager says, I don't want to be on the internet, don't put me on the internet, when he sees someone with a phone. I think that it's safe to say first of all, everyone's going to have their phone out when Rob gets in his fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And everyone's recording it, and everyone's going to put it on the internet when Rob rips off his t-shirt and he's got his oozing sores. I think that everyone in this day and age understands that if there is a phone out and it is recording in an image, it's going on the internet.
Correct.
Especially during a fight.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe you could get tattoos of sores if you don't want to really get like a bad disease. You could just like maybe do tattoo sores.
Tattoo sores, right. Boy, yeah.
That's probably still better than devastate.
Yeah, it's all good. All right. Dan, anything else from the bolt hole?
No, I had another fight at a Taco Bell, but I feel like we've covered, I mean, there might be something in the fake processed meat that's causing all this anger at Taco
Bell. There's probably a fight going on at a Taco Bell right now as we speak.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe this isn't even newsworthy because the fighting. Rob, this is a cautionary tale. Do not go to Taco Bell if you feel like today's the day.
Yeah, until you get a Devastate tattoo on your face.
Right. Yeah, if this your Ides of March or whatever it was, you know, and you feel like today's the day you're going to get beat up in a Taco Bell, don't go unless you've got your fake sores on your body.
Okay. All right. Well, great job with the bolt hole again this week.
Welcome to my bolt hole. Oh, this song is so good.
Tyson, do you listen to this song in private and just love it?
I haven't yet.
You put your cowboy hat on and nothing else and just turn this song on and repeat?
Underwear. I have my underwear. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good image. Thank you.
All right. What's the hashtag today? We've talked about so many different things.
I kind of like the Tyson Tearaway. The Tyson Tearaway T.
I called it the TDR.
But what did that stand for?
Tyson, Danny,
Tyson,
and Rob.
Danny, Rob.
Oh, I included
TDR
all of you.
It kind of also sounds like a disease.
Mm-hmm.
The disease.
I like
that...
Tyson Tearaway.
Okay.
Tyson's Tearaway Tea. Mm-hmm. Would that be any better? Because it's kind of more descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson, I like this idea. If we do open up the sloth terrarium to ideas, I think this one's top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the thing right underneath it as a companion to it is obviously the fake open sores and tattoo.
Right.
Okay.
So Tyson Tearaway.
Tyson Tearaway. There you go.
Okay, got it.
Available for Devastate dollars in our News AF store.
That's the newest cryptocurrency.
Yes, yes. Which is the bigger cryptocurrency, Devastate dollars or K dollars?
Right now they're neck and neck, but I think that after this podcast is going to give Devastate a real boost.
Okay.
They're neck and neck.
That's going to boost the whole crypto industry, Tyson.
All the way up.
All the way up. All right. Tyson, are you able to access any ratings in the iTunes store for News AF?
From my terrible, terrible internet?
Yes. The Tyson Tearaway terrible internet.
Oh, I hate this internet, dude.
Okay.
I can't access.
No,
I can definitely. I'm accessing it right now.
All right. Of course, you could leave us your reviews, newsaf.news. And if you're lucky enough, Tyson will read your review here on the very podcast. And it's the only time that you'll be guaranteed that Tyson will read aloud words that you write on your computer.
Yes, correct.
The best chance that you have of having that happen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got quite a few this week.
Yeah.
Also,
I don't know if he pre-reads them, so maybe you could get Tyson to say something embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't. I don't pre-read
them. Like a teleprompter?
like
Anchorman?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Stalling Tyson, 5 stars. By Asnesunes. While the news aspect is the best thing to happen to mainstream media, the best segment has to be Tyson's story time prior to reading iTunes reviews. I can only imagine what hilarious story Tyson has told while remembering to bring up the iTunes review this week, but I look forward to it every week. As soon as Rob surprises him with the segment, we learn just a little bit more about the life of Tyson Apostle. 5-star podcast and 5-star life for Tyson.
There you go.
Cool. So we should keep that as a segment because I honestly just forget about it every time. And then Rob's like, hey, we got to do that segment again. I'm like, oh my God, I got to pull this up. So, yeah. Okay. And then we got another one. We got best news source out there, 5 stars by Tyler Saltzman.
Okay.
With so much fake news out there, it is actual and factual. As a high school social studies teacher who often incorporates current events into my lesson plans, News AF is the only source I trust. Two out of the three hosts do a great job. One does not.
That's tricky.
Oh my gosh. He's just turned this into like a post-apocalyptic landscape where we have to decide.
Are we all looking at each other?
All right,
one of us isn't who we thought we were.
I know. This is terrifying.
Okay.
I think he's done that to it's psychological warfare.
Oh my goodness.
Don't let him bring us down.
No.
Okay.
Is that it, Tyson?
That's it.
All right. Oh. Great work once again. And thanks so much to everybody who joined us live. You can catch us every week. We should be back on Tuesday coming up next week at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific in the Group AF Facebook group. You can join us anytime you want. Just request to join Group AF and come on in and don't post anything to NSFW or promote your podcast within the first 5 seconds of being in the group. Those are the two rules. And as long as you can abide by them, you can be there.
Correct.
That's it. Okay. Anything else from today?
No, except for I just noticed that the date is 7/17/17.
Yes, what does that mean?
That's got to be good luck. I think 7 is a heavenly number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So this is probably
the same
sign.
Forwards and backwards.
Should we go gambling?
You probably should. And maybe invest in some more cryptocurrency, Tyson.
Okay.
It's the ultimate gambling.
Yeah, that's it. That's my last observation of the day.
Okay. All right. Well, great stuff. Tyson, kudos again on the new Bolt Hole intro song.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank
beautiful
you. It's work. Art.
All right. Mm-hmm. If you want to come on out and see News AF in person, plus the mega Survivor panel that we're putting together, plus plenty of more RHAP fun, come out to RehapCon in Salt Lake City this August 25th and 26th. For more information, go to RehapCon.com. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for the edit of this podcast and the great News AF intern, Lita, who on short notice pulled all the stories together today. So thanks again to her. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys. Factual, factual news.